You're listening to The Marketing Guide with me, your host, Laura O'Mahony, an online marketing educator, mother of boys, and pizza lover. This is the podcast that helps make marketing simple for small business owners and entrepreneurs. Each week, we bring you bite-sized, actionable tips, strategies, and hacks to help grow your business online. If you're ready to do the work and grow your online presence and stand out in a crowded space, then you're in the right place. Now it's time to jump into today's episode, so let's get going. Enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to The Marketing Guide. This is our 1 year anniversary this week of The Marketing Guide. I can't actually believe it. I'm like, how has that been a year? It's been so quick. And I had been planning to launch The Marketing Guide for quite a while, and it's just crazy to think that here we are a year later down the road, 50 something odd episodes put out, and it's just been an absolute roller coaster of a ride. It's been really fun. I never feel like sitting down to record the podcast is a chore, because I really, really enjoy it. I love talking, as you probably guess by now. I'm a natural at it. But it's been really fun. But it's been challenging as well for me. And there's been times when I've really pushed myself with it. And especially with like getting really good guests on as well. I don't just pick like any random person and have them on the podcast, because the people that I bring on the podcast are people I really want to have on the podcast and that I know they can add value to it. And with that in mind, I've got two really good episodes coming up in the next few weeks. One is with Wendy from Apartment B Photography. If you follow me on Instagram, you would have seen me share with that last week. So we talked all about TikTok and how that has helped her business grow. She's really, really consistent on TikTok, shows up a lot on there, and she kind of talks about how you can get started with that. And how that has changed her business and what her business looked like at the start of the pandemic. She's a wedding photographer, so all her business literally was cancelled. Everything was cancelled, and she learned to adapt and pivot. So that's a really, really good episode. I'm really looking forward to that. I also sat down and talked with JJ Peterson from The Story Brand. So he's the Building a Business podcast, and he's from the company Story Brand. You would have heard me talking about those before on The Marketing Guide as well. I'm a big fan of the Story Brand method. So he shared with us tips on how you can completely rejig your marketing by answering seven really simple questions. We talked about mistakes that people make on their website and how you can fix them, and what are the things that will actually drive results in your business. So he shared so much value. We were actually talked for a long time. So I'm really excited to share that episode with you as well. So on today's episode, I thought that I would talk about something that is a little bit different, a different topic, and something that I was in this world a lot when I was working in my corporate job. So PR and public relations. So many of you might not know much about it, or you might be somebody who's an expert in PR, but this episode will help you to be able to pitch yourself to publications, websites, that kind of thing, to get more visibility for your brand. So definitely stick around to the end of the episode to find out how you can do that. Today's episode is brought to you by Flowdesk, which is my go-to email marketing solution. You can create beautiful email newsletters that subscribers love to get. Flowdesk have stunning templates that are easy to edit and easy to set up. You can also set up your lead magnet for easy delivery with stunning forms. So if you want to go try it out for yourself, you get a 30-day credit card free trial. It's risk-free. You can just use that link below in the show notes. I also have a 50% off for life coupon code when you sign up using my link. So let's get going with the show then. So as I mentioned at the top of the show, I had experience in working in PR. So in my previous corporate job, I worked as a marketing manager in two different colleges. And as part of that, I had to manage their PR. So the public relations. So any time that was they were having an event or a launch or anything like that, I would have to liaise with the PR companies to come up with content around that and kind of pitch them then to the different newspapers, magazines, all that kind of stuff, online publications. So I kind of picked up tips and hacks as to how to do that and how to create stories that people will actually publish. And when I left my corporate job, then I used those tips to create more kind of awareness around my brand by getting myself featured in like the Irish Independent, the Irish Times, RTE, all that kind of stuff. So it just helped kind of bring more awareness around my brand, and it didn't really cost me anything. It was just to sit down and create the content and to pitch it and to know how to pitch it as well. So that's what I'm sharing with you today, how I did that whole process and how you can do that for your own small business. Okay, so step one then is research. So the first thing that you need to do do before you do anything else is start researching and start looking at websites and publications that you want to be featured in, and look at what kind of articles are they currently publishing. So what kind of topics are they talking about? What are the hot topics? What are the articles that are the most popular articles? And that will give you a good idea of what type of content that they are posting, and then you can go get ideas for what kind of content to create yourself. So mostly articles will be either entertaining, they'll be educational, or they'll be inspiring, one of those kind of things. So look at the writing style, my Clonmel accent's coming out there, writing style. Look at the writing style that they're using. So is it kind of a casual writing style, is it more formal or is it informal? And depending on the type of publication, they're going to have different types of styles. So like what the type of style that they use in Cosmopolitan magazine will be completely different than like the Irish Independent or one of the main broadsheet newspapers. So having a look at that, that will kind of inform as to how you will pitch your article or your news item to them. So look at who they're targeting as well and what kind of pieces they publish. So are they more opinion pieces? Is it more like news pieces, or is it more like how-to tutorials, that kind of thing? And a lot of publications actually have media kits, so you can go download that. A lot of the times it'll be like a PDF or something like that. You can download it, it'll give you all the information about that particular publication. So it'll tell you how many like active monthly users they have on the website. If it's like an online publication, it will tell you if it's not an online publication, what kind of circulation they have, all that kind of information. And then who the demographic is, what age group are the readers, and who are their main demographic, is it female, male, that kind of thing, or what's the divide of that. And you'll get a good idea then as to how to pitch yourself for that, and to see if it's actually a good fit for your brand too. The next thing is to Google the idea that you have. So if you have an idea for a particular topic that you want to talk about, or a particular news item that you want to talk about, go and have a Google of it and see, is it something that's been kind of covered over and over again? If it is, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it. It just means that you need to put like a fresh spin on it, and it needs to be newsworthy as well. It needs to be something that, like, there are a lot of topics that are kind of trending at the moment, and a really good way of finding out what is actually trending at the moment is go to Google Trends and have a search in around your niche and see what kind of trends and what kind of topics are coming, being Googled all the time, and that will give you a good indication too. So the next step then is to pitch yourself to relevant publications. So when I say relevant publications, they have to be a good fit for your brand. So like if you're a small wellness business, you wouldn't go pitch yourself to like a motocross magazine, because that just doesn't fit, unless they're super woke and they're like really into wellness. But it has to be a good fit for the publication and for the brand as well in order to get you featured. So what I used to do is reach out to people on LinkedIn, or I would connect with them on Instagram, and I would engage with them over time. So say for maybe a month before I would pitch them, I would like their stories, I would like comment on their things, so I'm getting visibility and they know who I am. And the same with LinkedIn, the exact same thing, kind of comment and see. And then when I pitch them, they have an awareness of who I am already. They have an idea of who I am. They've heard my name at least, or they've seen my name at least. So that's a really good way of making that connection. And you can even pop them a message on LinkedIn as well. However, I find more success when you actually pop the person an email. So when you are sending them an email, make sure it's personal. Make sure you find out their name and their proper name and spell it right. Do the research and find the proper person. So, and address it to them and their name. There's nothing worse than somebody who is an editor and they're getting like this wishy-washy, kind of, dear sir, madam, I would like to be featured in your publication because I'm a great business. Nobody's going to feature you if you do that. You have to make it personal and you have to take that approach. We're all humans at the end of the day, and we all are in our jobs, but you want to feel when somebody, connects with you. You want to feel that they've gone to the bother of finding out your name at least. I get pitched all the time for people to come on the podcast and they don't even bother to like find out my name. And like literally it's mentioned everywhere on my website. My website's name is lauraomahony.com. So they've obviously gone to my website and they've typed into the inbox, but like they still didn't go to the effort of writing my name. They're never coming on the podcast because like I'm like, no, that person's super unprofessional, they haven't listened to any episodes. Or they'll write in, oh, I listened to such and such an episode and it was great, generic episode. So it has to feel like it's personal. So when you're pitching them, then you need to let them know what makes your brand unique, or what makes, you know, your story unique, or what story do you have to tell? So are you somebody who, like, set up your business after getting let go during COVID? Or are you somebody that set up your business because you wanted to balance motherhood with running your own business? What is the story around your business? Or did you start, like, a hobby during COVID and all of a sudden you, like, started posting videos to TikTok and the whole thing blew up? I've seen that happen. So many people, so many different small businesses. What is the interesting thing about your story and what makes your story unique? And then just let them know why you would be love to be featured on their platform. So the next thing to do then is to give them a brief outline of what the topic is about or what you're actually pitching them. So explain what your article is and why it's a great fit for the publication as well. So that's why it's important to do your research and to know that what you're talking about is relevant to their audience. Because if it's not, they're not going to feature it. Simple as that. So the next thing to do is to write a really good hook. But obviously don't make it clickbaity. So we've talked about writing really good hooks before. So a hook is something that invites the reader into the story, and it's, or a good headline. So if you want to get a good idea of what are good hooks or good headlines, go have a look at, say, any of the publications that you want to be featured in and see what do the headlines of those stories actually say. So on the front cover of, like, Cosmopolitan magazine, it will be like 10 ways to lose 10 pounds in 10 days. It'll be something like that. And then the article will be broken down into that. Not that I condone losing 10 pounds in 10 days. But anyway, that's what kind of articles they are. So if you want to know how to write really good hooks, just Google it and you'll find loads of different examples. And I did cover kind of copywriting in previous episodes as well. So the next thing to do is, when you are pitching your idea, make sure that you're only, like, using literally one or two paragraphs. You're not, like, giving them the whole story or pitching them the whole thing. It's just a brief outline, you know, because they don't want to read, like, two A4 pages. They don't have time to do that, essentially. Make sure then that it's easy to read. So if there people are getting pitched all day long, and you need to stand out. So maybe do something like create it in Canva and make it look like uber professional. There's loads of different templates there for, like, you know, when you're pitching somebody, if you're putting it into, like, a PDF or something like that, just make it a bit more visually appealing. Or if you're putting it in Microsoft Word, use lots of bullet points, you know, underline text, use italicized text, all that kind of stuff. It will just help make it clearer and easy to read. If it feels clunky and it feels heavy, reduce as much as you can, get rid of as much as you can. The next thing is to give them an understanding of who your brand is, what your vision for your brand is, and who you help. 2 to 3 sentences max for this. And just let them know what kind of expertise you're bringing to the table that nobody else can. So how can you help their audience, essentially? The last thing then is just to include a short little bio about who you are. So in that, I would, like, have an image of you, 2 to 3 sentences, and then maybe links to your social media. The next stage then is to make everything easy for the editor. So editors, they work in a really fast-paced world. If it's a daily publication, they are under severe pressure every single day. I know, I've been in the newsroom, I know what it looks like. And they're trying to get everything pulled together for that tight deadline to go to print. They cannot miss that deadline. So you need to make it as easy as possible for them. And a lot of the monthly publications will be the same. They'll be working to really tight deadlines, quick turnaround, a lot of people contributing towards, say it's one big magazine, there's a lot of people working on it, a lot of collaboration. So you need to be mindful of what it looks like for the editor and what a day looks like for them when you're pitching them, so that you can be mindful of how you can make what you're sending them as easy as possible, so that you're sending them over, say you're popping them over a pitch and you're including the email, your 2 to 3 sentences, your little blurb about yourself and that. And then you maybe send them a link to your Google Drive that has, like, all of your logos, all of your company images, any of images of yourself that they may want to feature, all that kind of stuff, because they don't have time to pop you an email back to say, can you pop me over some images? When you're doing that, if you have product images, here is a quick tip for you. Name the product image the actual name of the product, so what it's described as on your website exactly as that, and the price. So name your products with the product image the product name and the product price. Because when they are popping that into, it, say it's an online publication, they have that information they need within that image. They don't have to go looking for that anywhere else. So that's one quick thing that can make it as easy as possible. And this is something that used to work in my favour all the time back in the day, because they would like be looking for something to fill a space at the last minute, and then they'd be like, oh, we have that bank of stuff there that Laura has sent, and we can use something from there. And I used to get lots of features, and they would like be popping me things in. I know, and I had a really good relationship. That's the other thing, is trying to build up relationships with editors, so that when something comes around that's like newsworthy in around your niche, that they're going to contact you. So say somebody that's maybe in the hair industry, and you're somebody that has made that connection with them. If they're going to talk about, like, say the government not opening up hairdressers or something like that, and you've made that connection with them, of course you're going to be the first person they go to. And it's free publicity at the end of the day. You don't have to pay for it. And that's what we want. So have everything, have a Google Drive or a Dropbox with all your stuff there, your company images and everything, and have it organized. And it does take a while to sit down and do that, but it's so worthwhile. You only have to do it once and it will stand to you forever. And then every time you have a new product or something new, you can add in the image and add in the thing, and you can pop them an email saying, here's the link to a new product range, and because you've built up that connection with them, it's easy to do it. Once you pitch them once, it's easy to do pitch them back, you know, when you kind of get to know them and know what works for them and what doesn't work for them. So the next stage then is to create a press page on your website. So this, I also had this back in the day. I had a press page and I had links to that Google Drive with all the images and the company images, company logos, all the information that they would really need. A blurb about myself and the story of my business and why I set up my business. So I was a mompreneur back in the day, and that was like a really hot topic back in the time, which is like 12 years ago now. I set up my business in order to work around my kids and to be at home with my kids. I only actually had one kid at the time, but that was the story, and that was quite a hot topic. So I had that page set up then with the links to all the say previous articles, were there, product images, company logos and all that kind of stuff. Then I had a kind of strip across the bottom of that page with places that I had been previously featured in, so like the Irish Independent, the Irish Times, all that kind of stuff, and that just helped create, you know, trust with the brand that maybe, or the publication that maybe I've never worked with before. They know that other people have featured my business there, therefore I'm a trustworthy business. The next thing is to showcase any awards or anything like that that you've had as well. That just helps build that trust too. So the next stage then is to make it easy to get in touch. So a lot of the times when people are pitching, they just like don't bother to include any of their you know, contact information or anything like that. And as I said, they work really fast paced. But some editors may want to like ring you and have a chat with you over the phone and kind of see, is there something in the story? And like, I've had that experience on several occasions, and that's a really good way to make that connection with somebody. Because one lady in particular that I kind of just connected with once, and every time that she wanted a comment on like a viewpoint from a mompreneur, she would call me. So they may want to ring you, so have your phone number on there, have your email address, and have links to your social media as well. They're the less important ones, but it's mostly your email and your phone number that they can get in touch with you, you know, as quick as possible if they're on a tight deadline, as I said. So the next thing then is to end your pitch with a clear call to action. So when you're popping them an email, or when you're, you know, sending them a PDF, that kind of thing, let them know what you want them to do with your pitch email. Do you want them to reply to you? Do you want them to call you? Do you want them to, you know, what do you want them to do? Let them know. We've talked about call to action before, it at the end of like an Instagram caption or at the end of a video, that kind of thing. The same would apply when you're sending them. Let them know what you want to do, but don't be forceful about it either. Don't say, I want you to contact me by 2 p.m. on Thursday for this. It doesn't work like that. They are essentially doing you a favor by featuring you. As I said, it's not costing you any money. So you have to be mindful of how they work and how that world works too. So the last thing then is follow up. So we often take it that, like, if we don't hear back from somebody, that it means, like, you take it personally nearly. And I used to, at the start, I would, like, pitch to all these different magazines and to the newspapers, and, like, sometimes I wasn't pitching the right people. Sometimes I'd, like, my pitch wasn't strong enough, and there was just certain reasons why I didn't hear back from them. So I used to nearly take that as a personal thing then and go, that would hold me back from actually, you know, pitching more people. But what I didn't really think about is, what does a day look like for an editor? And it is super busy, and it is, you know, stressful, and they have a lot going on. Maybe they saw your email and maybe they thought, oh, that's a great idea, but we're all busy, we all have a lot going on. Maybe they just forgot about you. So by, you know, putting in the work and doing the follow-up, you're kind of guaranteed to get an answer one way or another. So if you've put something out there and you've heard nothing back, you know, let them know, maybe in your email, that you'll follow up with them in a couple of days, and leave it 3 or 4 days before you get in touch with them. So you might phone the office, you might pop them another email and saying it, just following up to see if you got my email. And there's no harm in following up, and you're not annoying people, and you're not being, like, spammy by doing that. But obviously don't send them, like, 100 emails if you never hear back from them. And don't just assume because you have someone's email address that you can send them an email whenever you want. You know, pitch them first, do the follow-up, and if you don't hear back after that, you know, don't be somebody who's going to annoy the hell out of them, because they're never going to feature you if you do that. As I said, that happens to me all the time with the podcast, and I'm like, go away, I don't want to know you. Even if they're a good fit, I'm like, you've annoyed me so much now, you're not coming on. So it's just good business practice as well to follow up with people, because, as I said, we're all busy, we've all a lot going on, and it just makes sense to do that. So there are all the steps for getting free PR for your business. I hope you found that episode helpful. I will have a competition launching on Friday on my Instagram. If you're not following me on Instagram, make sure you go do that. It's at lauraomahony.com. I link that in the show notes below as well. But I'm going to be giving away a lot of my stuff from my online store, a kind of bundle of prizes to celebrate the 1 year anniversary of the podcast. So make sure you check that out on Friday. I will launch that at lunchtime on Friday, 1 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time plus one. So yeah, thank you so much for tuning into the podcast, and thank you so much for celebrating 1 year with us. It's been amazing. As I said, it's been a roller coaster. If you haven't left a review, please, I would love it if you could do that. That would be an absolute amazing 1 year anniversary gift to me if you could go leave a review. I have a couple to read out on next week's show as well, and I will do that on next week's show. But I really appreciate when people take the time to do that, because it helps us with the ratings in Apple and to get the podcast out to more people. So yeah, please do that if you don't. If you enjoyed this episode, take a screenshot of it, share it your Instagram stories, and tag me and let me know what you got from this episode. So yeah, that's it from this week's show. I hope you have a great week ahead, and I'll see you in the next episode.